You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay.
WGBW 1590 AM Denmark. W250 CV Green Bay.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Tom Rivers. As the president assures Americans that American banks are safe following the collapse of Silicon Valley Bank and the takeover of Signature Bank, ABC's Lindsay Watt says there are serious questions about what bank lenders knew before the collapse.
Regulators also took control of Signature Bank of New York over the weekend. It was one of a handful of banks that allowed customers to deposit cryptocurrency.
Meanwhile, the parent company of Silicon Valley Bank and two top executives are now facing a class action lawsuit. Shareholders accused them of concealing the risk the bank was facing from those higher interest rates.
The Biden administration is approving a major oil project on Alaska's oil-rich North Slope. Supporters say it's an economic lifeline and will provide jobs for the local indigenous population. Opponents say the Willow Project runs counter to President Biden's previously stated climate goals. This is ABC News. Under arrest in North Carolina, a man suspected of kidnapping a teenage girl he met online. ABC's Lina Moise has more.
A missing 13-year-old is home safe with her family, rescued near Charlotte, North Carolina, more than 1,000 miles away from her home in Texas.
It was heartbroken, very scared for her life.
The teen's mom says her daughter met the alleged abductor, 34-year-old Jorge Camacho, playing video games online.
Police believe Camacho lured the girl away from her home with the intention of trafficking her for sex. He's facing several charges, including child abduction and human trafficking, and is being held on more than $1 million bond. And Maine is now fighting back over calls for seafood customers to avoid its lobsters. Several state groups are suing a California aquarium to put Maine lobsters on a do not eat list, pointing to the gear used, which could be a threat to whales. But groups in Maine call that, quote, bad science. I'm Tom Rivers, ABC News.
The Ides of March, the day that Caesar was killed, and it's the final day for you to make a killer deal.
March 15th.
That's right, March 15th is your last day to take advantage of our biggest sale. We're slashing prices on our premium sponsorships up to 50%.
Tie your business message and phone number into our hourly weather forecasts and get results.
But you must hurry.
This spectacular offer ends March 15th. Log on to civicmedia.us/weather now. That's civicmedia.us/weather.
Hey, this is Jim Santel. I am the host of Morning Cannolis. Every single Saturday morning from 9 a.m. to 11 a.m., we talk about the major stories in law, in government, and the aspiration for justice in America. Delighted to have you join, call in, and be a part of our discussion right here on the networks of Civic Media.
Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian.
Matt Rothschild of the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign.
So here we have Jim Troupas, Dan Kelly, we got Michael Gableman, and the question is accountability, democracy, freedom. Are we going to let these forces who are hostile to democracy continue to try to take over our state? They may spout the value of freedom, but they don't want freedom.
Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian. Weekday afternoons, 2 until 3 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
What grows in the forest? Trees? Sure. Know what else grows in the forest? Our imagination, our sense of wonder, and our family bonds grow too. Because when we disconnect from this and connect with this, we reconnect with each other and build family memories we will carry with us forever. The forest is closer than you think. Find a forest near you and start exploring at discovertheforest.org. It's easy. Just put in your zip code to find family-friendly outdoor destinations near you. You'll also find guides to free activities, games, and amazing forest facts. Give the magic of the outdoors to your kids and reconnect with your family. Find a forest near you at discovertheforest.org. That's discovertheforest.org. Brought to you by the United States Forest Service and the Ad Council.
Don't you wish your life came with a warning app?
That dog does not want to be petted.
Well, life doesn't always give you time to change the outcome, but prediabetes does. Take the one-minute test today at doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its prediabetes awareness partners.
When it comes to making plans, you are the best.
What about those round trips that you plan in advance, which are perfect on your way there and perfect on your way back? Or those meetings with friends for which you make a group chat 3 months before so that nobody or anything is missing? Or your daughter's first birthday party. You planned it with such dedication that instead of the first, it felt like our quinces. The same way you plan each detail for those moments. Start planning to protect you and your loved ones from a natural disaster. Sign up for local weather and emergency alerts. Prepare an emergency kit and make a family communications plan. Protecting your family is the best plan you can make. Get started at ready.gov/plan.
Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media. To learn more, go to our website, civicmedia.us.
All across Wisconsin from Civic Media, this is Up North News Radio. Now, live from our Lake Wissota studio, here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
Well, hey there, Wisconsin. Good morning. Welcome to the State of Wisconsin Sense for this Tuesday, March 7th. It is another beautiful day on Lake Wissota. I can tell because that moon is so big and bright out there. It's not quite full yet, but getting there, it was almost streetlight bright, Aaron Zommers. I don't know if you guys have clouds down in Madison or if you were able to see just how bright it was early this morning.
I don't know either because I was not looking outside.
Well, you got here somehow. Do you drive with your eyes closed or
usually not?
Okay, all right.
you haven't
looked outside, huh?
Not really. I was paying more attention to the roads as I was, you know, still waking up a little bit.
Keeping your hands at 10-2 on the wheel. I understand. Yeah. Okay, that's all right.
And now I can't see the sky.
Safety first. All right, coming up this morning, Ms. Hendrickson Schools Congress. We are going to highlight testimony given to Congress last week by Corrine Hendrickson, the owner of a child care center in New Glarus. She laid out the things that lawmakers could be doing right now to ease the national labor shortage, improve small business health, and bring relief to working families. But spoiler alert, these necessary improvements that she lays out are not supported by many Republican lawmakers in Madison or Washington, even though they should be. Then we have a very busy 7 o'clock hour. First, we will talk about a community meeting in Abbotsford last Saturday on the topic of driver's licenses and putting road safety ahead of immigration politics and making sure that we have licensed drivers on the road, people who take a test and pass it and drive safely without worrying and then driving unlicensed and untrained because they're worried about their immigration status, which is a real concern out in parts of rural Wisconsin. And we will talk with one of the attorneys from the progressive legal group Law Forward about the ethics complaint the group has filed against former state Supreme Court Justice Michael Gableman over his shambolic investigation into the 2020 presidential election. And Aaron, I have a college degree, and yet I'm going to admit to you, I'd never heard the word shambolic until yesterday. Might not even be saying it right, but it's in the complaint. We have called Michael Gableman's investigation haphazard, botched, ham-handed, chaotic. Apparently shambolic is one of those words that I wish had been in my vocabulary earlier.
Shambolic.
Yep, okay. I guess you're saying it correctly.
Well, thank you. Are really on the ball about that. Thank you. I appreciate that. So there we go. A shambolic investigation, which, again, that is not in dispute. What Michael Gableman will dispute is whether it's worthy of an ethics complaint to be filed against him for his so-called investigation. So look for that update coming up at 7:30 this morning. We will check in later with weatherology meteorologist Michael Cairo. And then Chad Holmes from Bull Falls Radio in Wausau joins us in the Civic Media homeroom near the end of the show. And we would love to have your input on things. You can do so on the phones at 844 844- 967-2789 or 715-388-7155. And our email address is radio@upnorthnewswi.com. Let's see, we do have a question of the week, and that is this. With the Oscars coming up next weekend, what's your nominee for Best Movie of 2022? And that doesn't matter where you saw it. If you saw it in a theater, if it was on one of the streaming services like Netflix or Prime, if you saw it on cable like HBO or broadcast TV, what was the new movie in 2022 you liked best and would give them the award for Best Picture if you could? You can answer in the comments on Facebook if you watch the video feed of this program. You just have to go to the Up North News Facebook page, search for Up North News WI to find it, or Civic Media US to find the Facebook page for the Civic Media radio stations, or Bull Falls Radio for our station in Wausau. If you go to any of those Facebook pages right now, you will see Aaron and I yapping at one another through a video connection. And on that particular Facebook post, you can tell us what was your own nominee for Best Picture of 2022. So just a lot of things that allow you to participate, and we would love to have you take part in the show today. Quick look at sports. Not a lot going on. Just a quick update or two on some things, like the Milwaukee Bucks. They will be playing at Orlando this evening, 6 o'clock start time. The Marquette men's basketball team, as we noted, is the number one seed in the Big East tournament this week, and they will find out later if they will face St. John's or Butler on Thursday in New York during a quarterfinal of the Big East tournament. Meanwhile, the Badger men's basketball team will be taking part in the Big Ten tournament, and they will be playing tomorrow versus Ohio State. That game will be taking place in Chicago, and the start time there will be 5:30. And Tony Granato was let go as coach of the Badger men's hockey team. A disappointing season this year, and so new leadership will be at the helm next time around for the Badger hockey team. Quick reminder that there are many ways that you can listen or watch what we do besides the Facebook page that I just mentioned. We turn every hour's episode of Up North News Radio and all of the shows here on Civic Media into a separate podcast episode. So in our case, 2 hours a day, two podcast episodes a day. Go to wherever you subscribe to your podcasts and sign up and listen at your leisure. Or you can also listen back at the Civic Media homepage, civicmedia.us. Now we're going to take a break here and talk about what specifically daycare operators could use from Congress and the legislature if they wanted to be helpful to small business. That's coming up right after this break. You're Up North.
Warning, listening to the devil's advocates may expose you to opposing views.
It's scary. Maybe I'm coming a little bit more over the left, but...
Well, it's not left. It's good governance, Steve.
It's good to be exposed to different ideas, and I do appreciate that you do put that out there on the airways, because a lot of time where you just get a little soundbite of this or a little bit of that, and that's the end of it. You're to be commended for that.
Dave, I'm glad you finally come around to commending the greatest radio show ever, man.
Follow the devil's advocates on Facebook and Twitter.
Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian.
I'm really trying hard not to go insane from the mind screw that is this situation. Yes. With I was going to say the GAB, but now it's the WEC, which is audited by the LAB, and then it's now screwed up by the GOP. We're all SOL. Good for us. Congratulations.
Look at all those acronyms. Yeah.
Oh. We're the winners.
Tune in for Dueling Tangents every weekday at 2.
Uh-oh, Brad's buzzed.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, he's starting with the woots. Good thing is, he knows when he's buzzed.
Know your buzzed warning signs? Call for a ride when it's time to go home. Buzz driving is drunk driving. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Weather brought to you by you and your great business. For just $150 a week, this sponsorship is designed to make your phones ring.
But the offer absolutely ends March 15th. Log on civicmedia.us/weather. civicmedia.us/weather.
Here's your updated forecast. Cloudy skies expected this afternoon, with daytime highs approaching 45. Winds out of the west, 20 to 25 miles per hour. Lows level off around 23. Tonight, overcast skies. Overcast again tomorrow. Snow likely. Highs level off around 26. 2 to 4 inches of snow tomorrow through tomorrow night. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley on 98.3 FM and 1100 AM WISS. Right now, 38.
Keeping the Fox Valley connected, informed, and entertained, this is Civic Media.
Today for one of the birthdays, actress Jenna Fischer, Pam, is 49 years old today from The Office. Looking at a tweet here, let's see. This one's from Stacey Rosenzweig, who's a Milwaukee lawyer, who tweeted, 3 years ago this weekend, it was the last quote-unquote normal one for a lot of us, and we didn't even know it. Kind of. I mean, we all knew COVID was getting serious. We didn't know quite how serious it was getting to be. So, you know, it wasn't like normal, but compared to what happened right around St. Patrick's Day 3 years ago, this was kind of the end of an era, if you will. And we have been living with it ever since, obviously to a much lesser degree than in the past, but also after, you know, a million plus Americans have passed away. Tomorrow, we will be talking to folks from A Better Wisconsin Together. This group has been doing research and tracking on the extremists that are planning to come into Wisconsin on behalf of Supreme Court candidate, conservative former Justice Dan Kelly. And at least one of them is nationally recognized for espousing QAnon theories and other conspiracies, urging people to protest after the 2020 election, was on the Capitol grounds on January 6th during that fateful day. So that's a topic that we will be getting into tomorrow that we hope that you will follow us for. I did have one other thing I wanted to mention, and that was our friend, Dr. Kristen Lyerly. She joined us yesterday from Washington, D.C. And recall that Kristen is an obstetrician gynecologist, an OBGYN. And so she is a member of, I mean, you've heard of the American Medical Association. Well, then there's all these subspecialty groups, and she is a member of ACOG, which is the American College of Obstetricians and Gynecologists. So keep that in mind when I talk about ACOG. So there are ACOG meetings going on in Washington, D.C. this week, and then members go out and they talk to their hometown members of Congress. You'll recall she said she was planning to meet with Congressman Glenn Grothman and others, but that in 13 trips to D.C. to talk to Senator Ron Johnson about ACOG matters that are important to OBGYNs, Ron Johnson has stiffed them all 13 times. So, hey, now that he's been reelected to a third term, maybe the 14th time is the charm. We'll see. Anyway, Dr. Lyerly put up this post last evening. And unfortunately, there's not a name attached, and that's her choice to use her discretion. But she posted on social media that a Republican member of Congress reached out to ACOG, the professional organization that represents over 60,000 OBGYNs, to warn us if we mention anything about abortion during our meeting tomorrow, they will block all ACOG priorities, the voice of women's health, indefinitely. Again, it was the Republican member of Congress who reached out to them, reached out to their group and said, if you mention anything about abortion, I will block all priorities of obstetricians and gynecologists. Whatever else you are lobbying for and urging Congress to pass this week, I will stand in their way if you mention abortion during this meeting. What a big baby. My advice and the advice of many other people responding was name them and shame them. There is no doubt that this person, low life that they are, is going to block things that are good for women and women's health anyway. And what this person is a cockroach. And it's a cockroach saying, keep the lights off. Keep the lights off. If you turn the lights on, you're going to be in trouble. You know what? If you turn the lights on, there's still going to be a cockroach. So turn the lights on so that we know who it is. And I'm not putting that as pressure on Kristen, but rather for everybody that's in Washington, D.C. this week with ACOG or OBGYNs any place. And you can do the same for your own field, whatever it is you're involved in. If you have had that kind of treatment from a member of Congress, we want to know about it. We want people to know that this is the kind of representation that you're getting from this man or this woman who represents you in the House of Representatives or in the United States Senate. So wanted to pass along that note from Kristen. Let's keep things on Capitol Hill now and spend the next several minutes with somebody who, you know, theoretically could have been a guest. I'm sure she would make a great guest, but her life is very full. And maybe we'll get her on live some other time. But the whole reason you're about to hear from this woman is that she was able to get a little time off in order to testify before Congress last week on the trials and tribulations of being a home daycare center operator. Her name is Corrine Hendrickson, and she's from New Glarus. She's also an active member of Wisconsin Main Street Alliance. You'll recall yesterday we had on a small business owner to talk about what small businesses need from their elected officials. Now, we'll take it down to the daycare level, not just small business needs, but daycare needs. And we need to, because that sector is in crisis, as she will tell a House committee in some of these clips. What you'll get out of this is a deeper appreciation of what child care providers are going through, that beyond changing diapers and tying shoes and preparing meals and replacing broken toys and reading stories and singing songs and paperwork, 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 there's a math problem that isn't working itself out. Actually, a few math problems related to the wages daycare providers make. It's poor because otherwise the math doesn't work out for young parents on how much childcare costs. And without enough childcare providers, the math doesn't work out for an already troubling labor shortage. And then there's the worst math of all, politicians who couldn't care less. So long as the math works out for cutting taxes for the wealthy and cutting the safeguards that protect small businesses like childcare providers. Now, the funny thing is, that's the actual reason for the committee hearing that Corrine spoke at last week. Recall that Republicans control the House of Representatives now, and the House Committee on Small Business was holding a hearing on those pesky regulations and how small business needs fewer regulations in order to get relief from taxes and inflation. But Democrats on the committee invited Corrine, who, according to our old colleague Christina Liefren over at Wisconsin Examiner, took those Republican fairy tales and gave them a dose of daycare reality. For example, she noted that on more than one occasion, one big problem is that some regulations aren't enforced. It's not that you have to get rid of regulations. You have to enforce the ones that are on the books, like those creating near monopoly power, letting corporations hike their prices and blame inflation rather than their own dominant market power. So here are some examples, first from her prepared remarks, and then we'll get to how she answered some questions. In her testimony, we'll play about 90 seconds of this, she touches on big business dictating prices, the reduction in rural childcare availability, the pandemic aid and tax deductions that saved a lot of child care providers so that they could retain their workers, and the wait lists for child care that will grow if Congress just lets everything go back to what it used to be, which was bad for small businesses like hers.
Many of those fixed costs are increasing due to the lack of enforcement of our price gouging and anti-monopoly laws, enabling corporate concentration by pushing out competition, lowering quality while raising the prices. By investing in childcare, our rural economy's decline can be reversed drastically and replace the 90,000 family childcare businesses lost between 2010 and 2019. Since COVID, investments to all small businesses and to parents in the form of increased tax credits and deductions increase the affordability of having children. Without the PPP, I probably wouldn't still be in business. Increased investment in childcare due to COVID has increased wages and viability for childcare businesses. Significantly raising wages without also raising tuition has been possible. Empty classrooms are reopening since our employees are staying and coming into the field. However, once the federal ARPA funding runs out, if the state and government, federal government refuses to continue investing, I will be raising my rates 25% a week per child. This means parents will have to either receive significant pay raises from their employers, remove their child from regulated care, or be unable to find work. If tuition gets too high, more childcare businesses will close due to lack of enrollment. Additionally, we are still down about 80,000 employees, leaving exponentially more parents unable to work since their child is on wait lists instead of in care. We are the workforce behind the workforce. Without us, people can't work, and without us, the children will not be ready to work because, again, that brain development starts at birth, not when they're 5 or 4 or 3 or whatever magical age school officially starts. And we can also meet the diverse needs of our community with the hours that are needed.
So there were some highlights from Corrine's testimony. And when Corrine was asked about wages, she took care to note that it's not enough to just throw money at daycare providers and call it good. There needs to be a specific emphasis on worker pay. And without providing better family leave and healthcare coverage, people will go back to being stuck in their dead-end jobs. And that will only make childcare and the whole childcare crisis worse.
So the number one challenge is the wage. We cannot pay anything. Wisconsin was about $10 an hour. Family child care, we make less than minimum wage by the time you put our hours in. And so we really need to be able to get those wages up without pricing parents out. So we have to have some sort of system where the money goes directly to the wages. In Wisconsin, we took our ARPA funding and we actually put it into two pots. Every single program is eligible every single month to get money. One part is for operational costs. The other part goes directly to the teachers. And we fought for that as a group within our state and worked with our state licensing agency to make that happen. And that is what we are continuing to try and do because it really comes down to those wages. And we also need some more healthcare and paid family medical leave and other things that all of us really small businesses cannot access because we cannot afford to provide those things for ourselves or for our employees. And so that way, if we had it more took our taxes and more equitably distributed them, we would then be able to help encourage all of our people to be able to do what they love and not have to worry about being tied to a different employer because they need health care. That's also why a lot of parents actually aren't able to stay home with their children longer. They have their baby and they have to drop off after 6 weeks because they don't have any paid medical leave. If that would also help offset some of those crunches for infant care, especially because if a parent is able to stay home longer, they don't need care for longer. And so those spots won't be as filled with those infants and toddlers.
Okay, so we're going to hear more from her on the other side of our upcoming break, but there's a lot to unpack there. And before we do, I want to make note that while we're talking just about what Corrine had to say about small businesses who are, you know, home daycare providers, this really affects just about every small business that's out there. When you hear about the things that small businesses are advocating for, things like paid family leave, things like enhancing Medicaid coverage, known as Badger Care here in Wisconsin, so that more people have access to affordable health insurance. Because great big businesses can choose to provide family leave. Great big businesses can choose to provide all kinds of extras that small businesses can't get. As you'll hear later from Corrine, big businesses get all kinds of buying power and bulk discounts that small businesses don't get. So business does not speak with a singular voice. Big business has their voice. Small businesses have not. And the things that they need that big business might oppose as some kind of a mandate would actually level the playing field so that all small businesses could compete with the big boys and try to get a fair piece of the pie in their community. We'll hear more of the ways that Corrine Hendrickson talked about that before Congress coming up in just a bit. First, a reminder that we would love to have you subscribe to our daily newsletter. Go to upnorthnewswi.com, click on newsletter in the top banner, and subscribe to our daily newsletter. We'll be back in just a bit. You're Up North.
News and talk up, down, and all around the Fox Valley. Civic Media.
ABC News, I'm Tom Rivers. As the president assures Americans that American banks are safe following the collapse of Silicon Valley Bank and the takeover of Signature Bank, ABC's Lindsay Watt says there are serious questions about what bank lenders knew before the collapse.
Regulators also took control of Signature Bank of New York over the weekend. It was one of a handful of banks that allowed customers to deposit cryptocurrency.
Meanwhile, the parent company of Silicon Valley Bank and two top executives are now facing a class action lawsuit. Shareholders accused them of concealing the risk the bank was facing from those higher interest rates.
The Biden administration is approving a major oil project on Alaska's oil-rich North Slope. Supporters say it's an economic lifeline and will provide jobs for the local indigenous population. Opponents say the Willow Project runs counter to President Biden's previously stated climate goals. This is ABC News.
March 15th.
March 15th.
What's March 15th?
March 15th is the absolute final day to take advantage of up to 50% off on our Civic Media premium weather sponsorships. First, we spread your business message and phone number to our listeners. Then we spread Mother Nature's plans for the next 36 hours. You'll get a 15-second ad every hour followed by your phone number. Don't wait. March 15th is almost here. Log on to civicmedia.us/weather now. That's civicmedia.us/weather.
Earn, play, and win at Ho-Chunk Gaming Nakusa. Rewards Club members can earn up to $155 rewards play and $5 to use at Whitetail Crossing or to grab a bite to eat at the Swiftwater Lounge. Guests may start earning points on your Rewards Club card 7 a.m. through 10 a.m. and 9 p.m. till midnight every Monday, Wednesday, and Thursday. For complete contest rules, see the Rewards Club booth at Ho-Chunk Gaming Nakusa. Become an off-road warrior with Ho-Chunk Gaming Nakusa. Now until March 25th, guests can earn entries for one of the grand prize drawings on February 25th, March 11th, and March 25th. All you need to do is earn 25 points to receive $10 rewards play and an entry up to four times a day. One grand prize winner will win a gift certificate to Power Pack Sports and Equipment in Marshfield for a Polaris ATV or UTV, with six consolation winners being drawn to win a scooter cooler or up to $500 cash. For complete contest rules and to see the rides in person, visit the Rewards Club booth. Must be 21 or older to participate and enter the casino floor. Ho-Chunk Gaming Nakusa, your place to play.
I was just curious as to why you called it the Paul Revere Show.
The Paul Revere Show is named this way because the poem that we all know, the famous ride, the poem was written to rally the troops to fight slavery and fight for democracy. And so I named the show the Paul Revere Show because I thought it was the time to get on the air and talk about democracy.
The Paul Revere Show with Mark Thompson. Listen Monday, 7 to 8 p.m., always on the Civic Media app.
As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
Greg Bach is here because it is Greg Bach Hump Day Wednesday. Greg Bach, what is this hour called?
The No Sour Ha Ha Fun Time Power Hour.
As Goes Wisconsin with host Kristen Bry.
It's right for today.
It's right for today.
Oh, it's you know right. What, Jane? Can you ever be on my side? Ever?
Weekdays 11 to 2.
What do you think got me this job, Greg Bach?
Oh, darn it. Shoot, I'm in.
On Civic Media.
Happy Fun Time Ha Ha Power Hour.
And the Civic Media app. A no-holds-barred political conversation. That's Matt Flynn Direct.
Anybody running against Trump, if he calls them a nasty name, they should hit him back twice as hard. This is not the Marcus of Queensberry gentleman's rules anymore. In politics, certainly not in the Republican Party. Hit him hard.
Matt Flynn Direct. Weekday afternoons from 3 until 4 on the Civic Media Network and on the Civic Media app. Log on civicmedia.us.
Follow Up North News with our daily newsletter. Go to our website, upnorthnewswi.com, and click newsletter on the top banner. Once again, here's Pat Kreitlow.
I continue to be amazed, as I was as we went into the commercial break here, with just how much lighter, how much earlier it's getting light out. It feels so nice. Let's see, we had this because, oh yeah, David Bowie released his ninth album, Young Americans, on this day in 1975. We're going to cover that and so much more coming up in our very next segment. But at the moment, we are talking about small businesses and what small business needs from Congress and from the legislature, the helpful things, not the things that are simply talking points. And in this case, I'm talking about regulations and taxes. If you get nothing else out of this radio program, as we talk every day about politics and life, politics and business, or what have you, if you get nothing else, from now on, when you hear the word regulations, I hope that you will also put in the word safeguards, because we all tend to think of, and regulations have been marketed as, something that are entirely bad. And that is not to say that there aren't some restrictive rules or that there aren't some poorly written rules, but let's keep in mind why they were created in the first place. Not to tie hands, but to safeguard either workers from getting ripped off, consumers from getting ripped off, or the environment from being spoiled. Think what it would look like right now if we never had the Clean Air Act, if we never had the Clean Water Act. You can't simply cut taxes to zero and cut regulations to zero and think that that's going to make everything better. It's not. And that was why the testimony last week from Corrine Hendrickson was so masterful, as she spoke to Congress 1 week ago, a daycare operator from New Glarus who was talking to the House Committee on Small Business. And ostensibly, the hearing was about cutting taxes and regulations and things like that. But this next answer to one of the questions from members of Congress was wonderful, because, again, it was about small businesses and do they need tax relief. So asked what she thought could be done by Congress to make things better for small business, Corrine pointed out the current system is already good for business, really big business. And it's helping big businesses for executives and Wall Street, but not for anyone else.
I think just fair taxation in general. All of us small business owners pay a much larger percent of our income into a system that then takes that money and it goes to the larger corporations and goes to those types of things, so that our small businesses have a harder time then and are paying for those large businesses to buy back stock and shareholder and things like that.
And then she reinforced the point on her next response, again noting that this shouldn't be about scrapping regulations necessarily, but enforcing what already exists, especially when it comes to the big boys controlling so much of the market that they can hike prices on small businesses like hers.
So for me, as a family child care provider, I'm not able to buy things at scale or go through larger corporations and things like that to purchase. So I have to go to the store to get things myself or purchase online. A few years ago, Office Max and Office Depot were allowed to merge. Since then, my prices for paper, ink, et cetera, have gone up exponentially and have not come back down, along with the quality. My paper frequently jams. I have gone through several printers and things like that. And it's very frustrating because when I purchase something, I want it to be higher quality. And with that corporate concentration, it gets rid of competition and takes away that ability for people like that. Same thing with companies like Amazon that have taken over. You now auto reorder. I don't have a lot of time, but I've noticed those prices have actually gone up more than if I were to purchase from the original proprietors.
And now in this final clip, Corrine addresses the tired talking point that the small business relief provided through pandemic aid was somehow a bad thing. Quite the opposite. She notes it's the first time in a long time that government showed that it gave a damn about small businesses. Small businesses, the ones that don't do stock buybacks and don't have double-digit profit margins.
Because childcare has such a low profit margin, we are only able to charge what parents can pay, unfortunately, which isn't a whole lot when you're looking at people at the beginning of their careers. And so we look at the average market rate really isn't comparative to what it actually costs to have a childcare business. So we actually are able to use government supports. Finally, first time in my entire career, I've had money that I knew was coming in every single month. And I was able to take that money and pay my operational costs, raise my own wage, and also hire people, which has been a breath of fresh air for all of those families as well.
Thank you.
And the USDA food program has increased to one tier, and if we were to make that permanent through the USDA Farm Bill, that would help offset costs to parents about $15 a week. Group centers, unfortunately, aren't always eligible, and so getting them into that as eligible, no matter what, would also help offset those costs for those centers, so they would be able to pass those savings on to families or increase the wages so they can recruit and retain highly qualified staff.
So again, that was Corrine Hendrickson, a daycare operator from New Glarus, testifying before Congress last week. You can read much more about it. Christina Leffring wrote it up for the Wisconsin Examiner. I would highly encourage everybody to go there and read more about it. Because again, Christina properly frames it as a committee that thought it was going to go in one direction, and Corrine took it in another and, you know, gave it the dose of reality that was needed. Corrine's been a daycare operator for about 15 years. She's been a Main Street Alliance member for a couple of years now. And again, we talked to a small business owner in the restaurant business yesterday. We've heard from Main Street Alliance Executive Director Sean Fedeplace a number of times. They are doing so much to help small businesses amplify their voice. Because again, Wisconsin Manufacturers and Commerce doesn't care about them. They're looking out for the big boys. And Main Street Alliance and other groups as well are saying, wait, it's these hometown businesses that are the real backbone of the full Wisconsin economy. We had stats yesterday about something like, 99% of businesses in Wisconsin are small businesses and hire a substantial share of the Wisconsin population. So why aren't we doing more about what's good for small businesses? As mentioned previously, you're finally seeing that in, for example, the administration of Governor Tony Evers, who understands that some of the things that had been pandemic relief that was targeted to help small business shouldn't go away now, because then you just undo the progress that small businesses have been able to make. So, for example, the Main Street Bounce Back Grant Program, which was funded with pandemic aid, he'd like to make that something permanent. And again, you've got a $7 billion surplus to help get something like that started. But along with the financial incentives and tax deductions and things that you can give small business, you can also give them the consistency across the board, not business by business, but through the American workforce, of providing paid family leave. Something that, again, Governor Evers is going to kickstart thanks to the budget surplus that we have, and then turn it into, a funding mechanism that would come through employers. Extend Medicaid to more families. Wisconsin has lost out on literally billions of dollars over the past decade because of the continuing Republican temper tantrum that the Affordable Care Act got passed. And so as a result, they have refused to take the federal dollars that would allow more Wisconsin families to be covered by Medicaid, known here as Badger Care. And then finally, you can work to reduce the potential for monopoly power in the marketplace. That one is less a state issue as it is at the national level. Her example of Office Depot and Office Max merging, I mean, you could just hear in her voice the frustration on behalf of limitless small business owners who have had to deal with what has happened when some of these larger businesses get even larger. And that does more than, the inflation that might naturally occur in the market. It's only exacerbated when large corporations can charge almost whatever they want, because small businesses have so many more limited options. If you have any thoughts on what we've talked about here with small businesses and what the legislature and Congress could do for them, you're welcome to call here, 844-967-2789 or 715-388-7155. And our email address is radio@upnorthnewswi.com. One more clip I wanted to play, just something that I saw on the interwebs over the weekend. Mehdi Hasan is an anchor now on MSNBC, or political analyst. He's been on other channels previously. Actually, I just picked up his book on debates and arguments. And apparently he's known for his debate skills, but he's also known for his ability to quickly synthesize what's become known in this day and age as the hot take. And that if you give him 60 seconds and a topic, he will riff on something. So he made this appearance at a Washington, D.C. bookstore recently and took some Q&A from the audience. And we wanted to play just this one little riff that he was asked to come up with for two reasons. One, the person in the audience said, let's make it something positive. And then second, it's about young people and the role that younger people, younger voters are playing in building back the progress that has been lost over time. So again, this is Mehdi Hasan talking to an audience at a Washington, D.C. bookstore last week.
I am 43 years old, and I love living in this country because I love all the people who my kids age right now. My kids are 15 and 10. I love young people in America because young people are saving democracy in America. And my evidence for that is go look at the 2018 midterms, go look at the 2020 election, go look at the 2022 midterms, every study that's been done. If you go talk to John Della Volpe at Harvard, he will tell you that young people were the crucial difference. Democrats say, oh, young people don't vote, only old people vote. No, not true. Young people turned out in major levels. If you take young voters out of the electorate, Democrats don't win the House in 2018, don't win the presidency in 2020, don't save the Senate in 2022, and therefore young people are actually inspiring us because everyone's like, young people are apathetic, they're always on TikTok, they're always doing nonsense. Actually, young people are out there fighting for abortion rights, fighting for civil rights, fighting for minority rights, fighting for transgender rights, fighting for people who can't speak for themselves. And so I say, young people is what inspires me in America, because I don't care what the older generation is doing, building walls and voting for Donald Trump. It's for young people who are going to save this country and save democracy, because it needs saving.
So there you go. And again, I'm not one of those younger folks. That would be, you know, Aaron. Aaron's one of the younger folks who's saving this country. Did that resonate at all with you when you hear that about a generation that's not those of us who are old fogies or rapidly getting there?
I mean, yeah, I've definitely have a lot of friends who. Yes, I work for a news/politics radio station, so I always talk to my friends like, hey, this is important, we got to vote about this, or like, here's what's going on. But I have a lot more friends now than I used to who are like, hey, I'm going to be the one to bring this up because this affects me and all my friends and everything. So,
Yes, and look, I think it was on the increase anyway before the Dobbs decision. I think that again, for a host of reasons, whether it's school shootings, the pandemic, what have you, just simply the tone that's out there in the Donald Trump era, I think rubbed a lot of people the wrong way. Recall that when Donald Trump was at his most popular, there was very much a sliding scale. The folks who were at the very top of the age chain, if you will, loved him. And as you got to younger and younger demographics, they liked him less and less because they could see through, you know, the misogyny, the bigotry, the lack of any caring whatsoever about the country. But instead, it's all about Wall Street and profits and what have you. So I think we were already on a good roll at that point. The Dobbs decision simply crystallized it. And, you know, Aaron, I think people would say, OK, is that temporary or is it lasting? My sense is that it's lasting, that you know, folks your age and younger are going to be involved for good.
Yeah, I think that people are realizing that now that we've allowed all of these terrible things to happen, that we need to stay involved.
Yeah, let's take a pause here. We will then do our little music break, take a little history lesson and wrap things up for this hour, and then tell you about a very busy 7 o'clock hour coming up here on Up North News Radio for a Tuesday.
Rick Smith Show, where working people come to talk.
When we got back from the Working Class Heroes radio tour, one of the things that people asked is, what'd you learn? As you're going through rural America, what'd you find? Found angry people, and angry for cause. But the sad reality is they've been fed decades of outrage candy, and they're angry at the wrong people. They're angry at their neighbors. They're not angry at the very wealthy where they should be. Be sure to tune in live weeknights, 8 to 10 p.m. across the Civic Media Radio Network, and have your voice heard.
As goes Wisconsin.
Mandela Barnes, future runs. Not yes, not no.
You know, I'm not closing the door, right? Like, taking a loss is not easy. And it's tough, too, when it's such a razor-thin margin. You know, I know some people who just get up right away and decide they want to run again. Like,
yeah.
I'm not there. But, you know, it's all timing.
Celebrating all things Wisconsin. As goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry. Weekdays 11 to 2 on Civic Media and the Civic Media app.
Look through your children's eyes, and you will discover the true magic of a forest.
Find a forest near you and start exploring at discovertheforest.org. Brought to you by the United States Forest Service and the Ad Council.
Weather on this snowy, snowy day could be brought to us by your business. Can you imagine how many ice augers and fishing shanties are being bought as we speak? Weather sponsorships make the phone ring. Call us at 608-819-8255.
Here's your updated forecast. Cloudy skies expected this afternoon with daytime highs approaching 45. Winds out of the west, 20 to 25 miles per hour. Lows level off around 23. Tonight, overcast skies. Overcast again tomorrow. Snow likely. Highs level off around 26. 2 to 4 inches of snow tomorrow through tomorrow night. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley on 98.3 FM and 1100 AM WISS. Right now, 38.
You're listening to a radio station that's part of the Civic Media Network. Find more at civicmedia.us.
Born on this day in 1875, Maurice Ravel, the French composer, and that, of course, is Bolero. You're in one of three groups of people when it comes to this song. If you are over a certain age, it's simply a piece of music. Within a certain age, right now, you are thinking about Bo Derek and the movie 10. And if you are younger than that group, you might be wondering what the heck this song is and have you ever really heard it before? Although I could be wrong. Bolero's been used in plenty of other movies and cultural references. Aaron's probably about to school me on that.
No, I'm about to say that there's a fourth, much smaller group, and that's that you went to music school, so you know who Ravel is.
Yes.
And that's the one that I fall in.
Yes, I stand corrected, but yes. On this day in 1970, let's see, we talked last week about Bridge Over Troubled Water by Simon and Garfunkel. It was on this day that their album of the same name hit number one and stayed at number one on the album chart for 10 weeks on this day in 1970. On this day in 1965, Bloody Sunday, when a group of about 600 civil rights marchers was brutally attacked by state and local police in Selma, Alabama. We mentioned earlier that Jenna Fisher is 49. Other Hollywood movies, Bryan Cranston is 67. Laura Prepon is 43. And here's a little song here that is now, what, 38 years old? I'm not going to lie to you. When I first hit this clip, I thought, well, I'll just, you know, listen to what part of the song should we put on. Yeah, I watched the whole thing and I was immediately, you know, brought right back to 1985 as a junior at UW-Eau Claire. And it was the absolute peak of the MTV age. And so there was, you know, Michael Jackson in gold braids, as he would appear in videos of that time. Cyndi Lauper, you know, done up with, you know, plenty of makeup. And it was such a mishmash to see, you know, there's Ray Charles and then there's Huey Lewis and there's Kim Carnes. And, you know, it went on and on. And yeah, found myself watching the whole thing, even though the song is really kind of, well, it's kind of worn out by now. But it was quite inspirational at the time because it was there to help end what everybody knew was a growing and severe famine across East Africa. And so when you had Springsteen, Dylan, and all the others come in, people watched the video. People responded to it. They bought the record and raised a lot of money to help feed folks out there. On this day in 1983, Tears for Fears released their debut album, The Hurting. And one more music note, 1987, you might have been listening to Brass Monkey by the Beastie Boys.
Brass Monkey, that funky monkey. Brass Monkey, chunky, that funky monkey.
That's to say you might have been listening to it. I was not. License to Ill by the Beastie Boys topped the album chart this day in 1987, becoming the first rap album to top the album chart. It held the number one spot for 7 weeks. And also on this day in 87, they appeared on the show Soul Train and performed the song Brass Monkey off their album. And Aaron was looking around to see if you could find the actual Soul Train clip. We got better audio quality from the song itself, but I'm sure that was quite a show that day.
Yeah, it looks exactly like you'd picture it look like. yeah, just a bunch of people standing around the stage, like kind of dancing.
Mm-hmm. Well, all right. So there's your music break. There's your history lesson for today. Now, we look back in the Up North News archives from our daily newsletter, which you can sign up for at upnorthnewswi.com. And let's go back 1 year to March 7th of 2022. And that was when Republican leadership was trying to make the case about, you know, how much they had cut taxes for Wisconsinites. But in that memo that they requested from the Legislative Fiscal Bureau, we learned the extent to which the big daddy of the corporate tax breaks in there really hurt Wisconsin, because the credit that primarily benefits millionaires and corporations has this mom and apple pie name, the Manufacturing and Agriculture Credit. So it helps all manufacturers and all of agriculture, right? No. And disproportionately, no. At that point a year ago, the price tag was up to just short of $3 billion in additional corporate tax cuts that, again, did not go to roads and schools and all the other things that make Wisconsin work. Instead, it went into the pockets of not just millionaires, but multi-millionaires. At one point, there was one group that did a study on it and said that tax filers whose income was $1 million or more, so just their annual income that year was $1 million or more, they make up 0.2% of all the tax filers in Wisconsin, 0.2%. But they got 76% of the total dollars that were cut from taxes in Wisconsin because of that tax break. And no proof of job creation was required. So this wasn't something where you're giving tax credits to people or companies that are creating jobs. They're not. They weren't doing that at all. They were simply getting a big fat tax break, which was brought in by the, you know, Scott Walker legislature when it took over in 2011. Within short order, the Manufacturing and Agriculture Credit passed into existence and continues to be a drain on Wisconsin resources. We are asking a question this week, asking if you have a favorite movie of 2022, and it doesn't have to be any of the usual Best Picture nominees that you're going to see at the Oscars coming up on Sunday. You might have seen it in a theater. Maybe it was something streaming. Maybe it was on cable or broadcast. And I am looking through various critics' best lists of 2022 because I haven't really set up my first, second, and third yet, so I'm trying to get some inspiration. But there's some I haven't seen. I've seen previews, but I just don't know that I'm going to go see, for example, The Banshees of Inisherin with Colin Farrell and Brendan Gleeson. Aaron, yes, no?
You've seen? I haven't seen that one either.
It kind of looked like it might be fine, but I don't know. Then there was Everything, Everywhere, All at Once.
That I did see, and I do recommend it.
That, yeah, you were one of them that said it was not overrated, as some folks have been saying. The Fablemans?
Well, I would say maybe a little overrated. Like, it's not greatest movie of all time, but it is good. Mm-hmm.
But and the Fablemans you saw, right?
No, I have not.
Oh, I thought you saw that one. Okay. Let's see. What else do we have here? Nope by Jordan Peele. I'm not going to see that.
I want to, but...
You do want to. Okay. And then on Making Critics List, Top Gun Maverick, which I meant to see over the course of the past year, but just haven't yet. So I know at some point I will, but I also know I really should have seen it in a theater. But
yeah, that does make a big difference.
Yeah. So anyway, what I've been looking through here is, again, just the theatrical releases. At this moment, just on what I'm looking at from the list, I would say Elvis would probably be my favorite of those, but we've got the rest of the week to talk about this yet and to get your votes as well. So answer over at our Facebook page. The very busy hour coming up next with a couple of guests and a weatherology update next. You're up north.
Heat, power, and water are things people cannot take for granted. the elderly, disabled, the veterans. With record increases in basic costs of living, people are struggling to keep these services on and their bills paid. If you are in danger of losing heat, power, or water, call 1-800-506-5596 or apply online at heat.help. You may not ask for it, but the Keep Wisconsin Warm Cool Fund and your local energy assistance providers are here to help.
The Ides of March, the day that Caesar was killed, and it's the final day for you to make a killer deal.
March 15th.
That's right, March 15th is your last day to take advantage of our biggest sale. We're slashing prices on our premium sponsorships up to 50%.
Tie your business message and phone number into our hourly weather forecasts and get results. But you must hurry.
This spectacular offer ends March 15th. Log on to civicmedia.us/weather now. That's civicmedia.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay.
WGBW 1590 AM Denmark. W250 CV.